Listening to 1270 and 96.7 WDLR AM and FM Marysville, Delaware, and local 98.5 WINF FM LP Delaware. Good evening. Welcome to Meet the Candidates Night, live from Jay Gumbo's in downtown Delaware. Here is your moderator for the evening, Mike Schnell.
Thanks, Bobby. And once again, you're listening to Meet the Candidates live from Jay Gumbo's on the new My96.7 and streaming live on My96.7.net. Special thanks tonight to Burrell Automotive, Beanbag Books, Beth Fisher, Better Homes and Garden Real Estate, Crazy Burrito, Cross Strings Music Store, Dragon Lanes, Forever Pets Grooming and Self-Wash, The Hamburger Inn, Jay Gumbo's, Kelly's Wholesale Carpet and Flooring, Kirby's Auto Parts and Towing, Leroy Service Center, Mosier's Market, The Red Shed Barbecue, Revelation Mortgage, R&R Tire Express, Tojours, Tranquility Acupuncture, and The Tux. What the Tux? Woodland Cigar Company. Tonight, our moderator actually is Jason Allison, and we're going to go ahead and turn that over to you. He is the pastor at Press Church, and on behalf of all of us at My 96.7 and all the candidates, welcome.
Well, I am very glad to be here. I'm honored to host this and to ask some questions and to help get some conversation going. The role of tonight, for those of you that are here and for those listening, is to allow the city of Delaware and then the county or the school district to meet the new candidates, the candidates who are running for positions in city council or the Board of Education. And these are candidates who are not incumbents in that they have not been elected to this position before. And so that they all have the opportunity to express who they are and give everyone a chance to meet them. We wanted to put this night together, and Richard at Jay Gumbo's was nice enough to organize it and to give us space to do that. Well, without further ado, I want to get into meeting the actual candidates. We are going to start with a person who is running for city council at large, and her name is Linda Shearer. So, Linda, would you come join me here?
And Jason, just for our audience, to let you know, they were randomly picked. They threw numbers in, and we drew numbers on in the order they'll go.
Yeah, we drew numbers out of a hat, and that's how we selected the order, and Linda drew the shortest straw of the night. So, Linda, I'm going to ask you one question and then let you just kind of introduce yourself in answering the question. And it's very simply, what prompted you to run for the at-large seat in the city council?
My friends prompted me to run for city council. Okay. I've always been involved in this community. We've lived here for more than 30 years. I raised three sons that went through the Delaware city schools and have done very well, a lot better than their parents. And I care about this community. When I was on the steering committee that started Main Street Delaware, which was kind of interesting to herd cats with the city, the county, building owners, and community members and business owners to get to the table to talk about starting something like Main Street Delaware. I had a business downtown for 14 years after I left my nursing career. It was a gallery and frame shop, and we were one of the first ones to do the kind of exciting First Friday things. We had gallery openings, and everybody would come and go to one of our two or three restaurants and stop at the gallery and have a glass of wine and see what artist was up in the gallery for the next month. I've been involved with Women's City Club, Andrews House. Currently, I'm on the board of Delmore Dwellings, which is an amazing group of folks. If you haven't ever looked about Delmore Dwellings, you should see what they do. And I've never stayed home and minded my own business, so I'm out again one more time to try and get into stuff. My concern for the community is the growth and the fact that people move here because it's a friendly, happy place. And it's changing. We want to make sure that it maintains its friendly, happy atmosphere, that the people who come here make us better, and the people who come here aren't the only ones who benefit from the move. So that's why I came to City Council to run.
Okay. Anything else you want to add to, you know, when you say growth, that's a concern, maybe tell me a little more, what do you mean by growth? Are you for it, against it? Like, what do you mean?
If you don't grow, you die. You have to have growth. But because we're such a desirable place to be, we have to make sure that the folks that are funding this growth, the new businesses that come, the subdivisions that are built, make us better. They fill a need that we have, and everybody is a better off for that. It takes in the people who are left out. If we do it right, it's the right thing to do.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll get back to you. We have more questions.
I'm sure you will.
Next up is Stephen Tackett. And Stephen is running for City Council, the first ward seat. And so, Stephen, I'll ask you the exact same question that I asked Linda. What prompted you to run for this position?
Oh, thanks, Jason. Answer that, just kind of get into an intro real quick. Figure I got 5 minutes, why not? So my name is Stephen Tackett. I'm the current first ward city councilman. Graduated from Hayes in 2012.
By the way, I'm going to interrupt just so everyone knows, because I said it's not incumbents. You know, the reason that you are currently sitting in that chair is because you were appointed like a month ago.
Back in July, yeah.
Yeah, because the person who was in that seat had to vacate the seat.
Yes, sir.
And so you are an appointed one, but this is the first election.
Yes, sir.
That you've run for.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Just so make sure everybody knows, we're not, you know, breaking rules.
Attended Delaware City Schools from kindergarten all the way through graduation. I was a member of a tennis team, all 4 years of high school. 27-year-old, certification in public health and bioenvironmental engineering from United States Air Force School of Aerospace Medicine. I'm a lifelong Delaware resident, recently moved back into Locust Curve, which was my childhood neighborhood with my fiance Candace, our three dogs, Nova, Shiro, and Yuki, and our one-eyed cat, Barbosa. I'm currently employed at Rickenbacker Air National Guard Base as a bioenvironmental engineer in the United States Air Force, where I hold the rank of Staff Sergeant. My first 3 years, I was active duty, and I was based out of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. During those 3 years, I made the drive to and from Delaware every single night, just because that's how much I care about Delaware. You'll ask Candace, I've made those drives at 8, 9 o'clock at night and got back real late, so, and then got up at 3 or 4 to go do that. So I switched the Air National Guard in 2017, just had a desire to stay in Delaware. Was talked about me going to Texas, and there's a program where you can switch over to take your remaining time, go to Air National Guard. And that's where I've been since. Cumulatively, I've served for 7 years and plan to serve a lot more. Before my military service, I worked right down the road at Amada's Pizza. That's where I first developed my work ethic and skills, people skills, and it shaped me into the person who I am today. when I don't have drill, I like to volunteer with like Impact 60 and other local organizations to help clean up downtown. We were just out there this past Friday. Tons of trash. Tons and tons of trash. Some of my passions include fishing. If you run past my house in Locust Curve, you'll see that I decorate for Halloween quite a lot. Spending time with Candace and her family. Running with the Air Force, I participate in help training airmen all over the base, get ready for a PT test. Consider for myself an avid animal lover. Visit the Columbus Zoo once a week with Candace. I also enjoy frequenting our wonderful parks and recreation facilities, especially Mingo, where I enjoy walking our dogs. So now that intro is out of the way, why I chose to run. Delaware's always been my home, for as long as I can remember. The first ward especially, since that's where I grew up. I grew up on 206 Star Hill Drive, just right down the road. And I want to take care of this place like it took care of me growing up. As mentioned earlier, I ran earlier in 2019 when I lived in the second ward. I since sold my home and moved to the first ward, but I have experience. I always told myself, well, I'm not gonna get into it unless there's a vacancy that opened up. Chris Jones stepped down and back in June, and I applied for it against six others, managed to snag it, and I'm hoping to keep that and help take care of my city, whether that be our parks, keeping our downtown historic district wonderful, and helping our small businesses out by getting people down here, helping accessibility, all that. I want to be that responsive and responsible voice for the community that you can always count on to get back to you. Unless it's an absurd time at night, I will always email you back. If I don't email you back, I'm either driving to work or I am asleep. That's it. So, I really want to be there for folks, and I just love Delaware.
Yeah, that's great. We'll ask more questions in a minute. How about that?
Absolutely, sir.
That's great. I appreciate it. That is Stephen Tackett, and he is running for first ward seat. So thank you very much. Our next candidate that we're going to introduce is Mark Butler. Mark is running for an at-large seat with City Council. And so, Mark.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates live from Jay Gumbo's on the new My 96.7 and streaming live on My967.net. And now back to your moderator, Jason Allison.
All right, I'm sitting here with Mark Butler. Mark is the next candidate that I want to introduce to you. He is running for an at-large seat with City Council. And so, Mark, I'm going to ask you the same question that I've asked the others. What prompted you to run for this position in City Council?
Pastor, I'm so glad you asked that question. And later I have more than 5 minutes, but I could go on just with the question. Why are you asking me why I'm running for at large? Because I want to be at large. I want to be over the entire city, because the problems exist not only in the first ward, but in the other three wards. That is, I'm basically running on diversity, inclusion, and equity. Now, some of you out there in Facebook land and radio land probably never heard those big, marvelous words, but it's the heart of my campaign. And if I could borrow a phrase from Mahatma Gandhi, said, you must become the change you want to see. So if I just sit back in my nice house over there in the first ward and just say, okay, maybe things have changed, things won't change for me. I have to go for it. Now, I'll give a little history. I tried to go for it years ago for the Board of Education, but it didn't go for me. So I applied for the position for the first ward position. They didn't go for me. Now, I'm going to put this out here. The city had an opportunity in the first ward, application campaign, to be on the forefront of diversity. And I don't have to, I'll just say it. I'm an African American living in Delaware, in case you on Facebook can't see me. But I want to say this, and I'm going to conclude my comments, and I'm going to talk a little bit longer about diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's important for Delaware to grow. You can build as many buildings as you want. You can expand houses as much as you want. But if you don't expand people's minds and hearts about, if people don't look like you, and you got a problem because people don't look like you, that becomes a problem for the entire community. Case in point, when I first My wife and I first moved in that home in 2004. My first welcome to Delaware was profile, 911, black man walking in his own neighborhood, suspicious. What kind of welcome is that, Delaware? Paid taxes, bought a new home? No, I'm going to keep it real tonight. We have to change. And all due respect to all the candidates on the forum tonight, through my experience, I can make effective change because of who I am and what I've experienced living in the great city of Delaware. It's time. It's time for change. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's perfect. I appreciate it. So you are running because you want to see change in Delaware.
Right. Not tomorrow. I want to see change now. That's why I'm here. Change is happening now. It's immediate. We have to go right now. It's an urgency. Dr. King said the urgency, help me out there, audience. Y'all probably never heard Dr. King, right? The urgency of now. That means right now. We need change right now. The heartbeat right now is changing. People thinking about what I'm saying. You got to be changing. Think about it. I'm speaking the truth. It's time. Since 1808, I guess the city has been incorporated since 1808, but some of the mindset still goes back to 1808. It has to change.
All right. We'll have more questions. Don't worry.
Thank you.
All right. So that was Mark Butler. He's running for the at-large seat for the city council. The next person is the one person that we have on the docket tonight or on the platform tonight that is running for the school board. There's an open seat there, and there are actually two others that are running, but they couldn't be here tonight. So I'm going to introduce Melissa Harris. Melissa Harris is, like I said, running for the Board of Education. She's she is running with a few other people. I'm going to ask you, this isn't on the questions, but I just realized I don't know. How many open seats are there on the Board of Education this year?
So there are currently three, okay. And then there are five of us that are running. As you said, two are incumbents.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure. All right, well, I'm going to ask you the same question then, and you get, you're not working against any of them, so you can you do whatever you want here, but what prompted you to run for this position?
Sure. Well, first, actually, as you said, my name is Melissa Harris. I am a longtime resident of Delaware, graduate of Delaware City Schools. I'm not going to say the years as Stephen did. But also, multiple generations of my family have also graduated, and I have graduated two children, and I have one left standing in Delaware City. I have volunteered in various aspects in the schools, as being a classroom parent, as being a coach, and also in the community with people in need, supplies for scholars, Ohio Living Sarah Moore Service Board, the Alpha Group Duck Derby, Do Good Date Nights, Unity Community Center, Family Promise, and the Delaware African American Heritage Council. And I just believe that we all have something to give or contribute to our community, and our purpose is to serve others. Hence why I'm so in tune with the community and always volunteering. This communal approach is why I care about our students, because it's our responsibility as a community to stand up for our students to ensure their success. I believe each student deserves an equitable experience, and their address or zip code should not dictate their quality of education. Education is the key to opportunities for our students to achieve their highest potential. And as I continue to listen to parents and students from all sectors of our community, student wellness, equity, and improving student outcomes are my major priorities. So now to your question. What encouraged me to run is a very loaded question. I have, as I said, I was a graduate of Delaware City Schools. Had two students that graduated, and when they went on to college, they had experiences that their former classmates had said, hey, some of the things that were said and done in school and in Delaware in general weren't cool. These are things that shouldn't have been said, shouldn't have been done. And then fast forward to my child who is still enrolled in Delaware City Schools, who at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, we came to a breaking point, and the bullying and the racial discrimination in the school came to a head. After numerous visits with the guidance counselors, the principal, I went to the school board and spoke, realized there was a huge disconnect between the board, between the principals, between the teachers, and the teachers were just as frustrated as parents and as the teachers with lack of support when dealing with any sort of bullying, racial discrimination in their classrooms. So for me, it's just time that my daughter was given a voice, and also these other students that haven't had the opportunity to speak out and be heard.
Okay. So I'm going to just a little follow up real quick. We still have a couple of minutes left in your 5 minutes, so it's fine. You said that you noticed there were issues, that there seemed to be a disconnect between the board and, you know, the leadership and the teachers and then the families themselves. Right. Can you take just a second and describe what that disconnect is? And I know this isn't a prepared question.
That's
just
okay.
Trying to push in, so we can get clarity on what you said.
That's okay. This has been a lived experience. So, yes, I didn't need a question for that. So speaking to the board, the superintendent, the school board members, each spoke to me after the meeting and had no idea these issues were happening, these things were going on. We're not receiving any reports from principals. Teachers would report these offenses to the principals, and there would be no further action. A child may be removed from the classroom, but then returned within the same period, and the teacher felt, okay, the next day, the same thing would happen again. So just constant repeat, to where teachers, faculty, and staff were also feeling unheard, and where do we go from here? How do we address this?
Okay. Thank you. No, I appreciate that clarification.
Yeah.
That helps. All right. Well, thank you. That was Melissa Harris. She is running for the Board of Education for one of the three open seats there. And so before we go on, do we want to list a couple of the sponsors and give acknowledgement to that?
Once again, you're listening to Meet the Candidates live from Jay Gumbo's on the new My 96.7 and streaming live on My96.7.net. Special thanks to Burrell Automotive, Beanbag Books, Beth Fisher, Better Homes and Garden Real Estate, Crazy Burrito, Cross Strings Music Store, Dragon Lanes, Forever Paint Grooming and Self Wash, Hamburger Inn, Jay Gumbo's, Kelly's Wholesale Carpet and Flooring, Kirby's Auto Parts and Towing, Leroy Service Center, Mosier's Market, The Red Shed Barbecue, Revelation Mortgage, R&R Tire Express, Tojours, Tranquility Acupuncture, What the Tux, and Woodland Cigar Company. And now, back to Jason, as you're listening to Meet the Candidates, where our delegates are from City Council of Delaware, because we got multiple cities out there, and the Delaware School Board.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Well, the next candidate that I want to introduce is running for City Council and at-large seat, and that is Caitlin Frazier. Caitlin, it's nice to see you. I'm just going to do the same question. Could you tell me what prompted you to run for this position of at-large within the City Council?
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate you moderating this evening, and Jay Gumbos for hosting all the candidates tonight. So my name is Caitlin Frazier. I am running for Delaware City Council at large. I've lived in the city of Delaware for over 10 years, and this is home. This is where I've chosen to raise my son. I chose to run for city council because I believe as the city continues to grow, local leadership will be more important than ever as we focus on creating local jobs and housing opportunities. So about 2 years ago, I started going to city council meetings and learning details about a lot of the planning and funding. That for the Point Project. And as an East Side resident, the Point Project is pretty personal to me because I live right at the Point. So I wanted to understand how the city was getting to a point to expand the Point to alleviate a lot of the East Side traffic flow that I know we all experience. While going to meetings, I started learning a lot about other issues that were happening in the city. So at the same time as there was planning for the Point Project, I was also listening to residents' concerns about our Parks and Recreation Department, specifically around our relationship with the YMCA at the time. So those were all things that really spurred me into action, because a lot of these issues do require taxpayer funds, whether it's funding our community center or our road infrastructure projects. And so I wanted to make a difference where I could advocate for residents for the best use of our tax dollars. Delaware's population in the last decade that I've lived here has increased by 12%. And we have another 18 to 20% increase expected in the next decade. And what we need is housing that is sustainable but yet affordable. And that's going to be a significant part of what I believe Delaware's future planning will need. We're a great place to live. We want to attract new residents. We want to make sure that we have a strong job opportunities for new residents coming here, and that's going to depend on economic development and attracting new businesses to the city. I am in very strong support of the city's 10-year plan to create a downtown riverfront district. I'm not sure who saw the most recent planning from the city, but I think this would be a great way to build upon our current economic plans, bring in new small businesses, and create local jobs.
Excellent. What I'm hearing you say, right, is you're talking about expanding or being prepared for expanding growth. And I heard you talked about housing. Any particular area of housing that you're thinking should be a priority moving forward?
Yes. So housing that is, again, affordable, and that's a really broad term, right? So what is affordable? It's really up to the person that needs the housing. But I think that as we build more developments, having a broad range of housing. So I'm in the millennial generation, and they are the least likely to be homeowners out of any previous generation that's gone before them. But millennials need different types of housing that is going to maybe not always be your typical, you know, 3 to 4 bedroom home. So building, you know, great condo opportunities, again, that meet affordable needs. We have people that are coming in, maybe just work within the OWU, and they're going to pass through the city over time. So having housing that, you know, meets varied needs is going to be significant.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's excellent. I appreciate it. Those are good. And I'm sure we'll have more questions moving forward.
Absolutely.
But that's a great introduction.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Caitlin Frazier, who is running for the at-large seat for the city council. All right. We've still got two more to meet for the first time before we go into some more questions. And again, these are just introductions, giving them a chance to let you know who they are. And that way you can at least put a face with the name moving forward and have a basic idea as to what they're like and what they seem to be building their election on. So the next person is Heather Rodenborg. She is running for the city council at-large seat. Hey, there you are. So, Heather, it is nice to see you. I'm glad I could sit here with you.
Yes.
And again, I'm going to ask you, what prompted you to run for the at-large position or seat that's open on the city council?
Okay. Thank you, Jason. It's Rodenborg. Rodenborg. It's really funny because, I'll just quickly say this. This is my Norwegian roots that it's spelt with an O, but sounds like an E.
Thank you.
So what prompted me to run for city council is our family, my wife and I moved here about 6 years ago. I was recruited by a hospital system down in Columbus. And we moved from Dallas, so downtown Dallas, to Delaware, which was a little bit of a change for us.
Really?
But yes. You guys have less traffic here.
Okay, that's true.
Sometimes.
Except at the point.
Yes,
right, Caitlin?
yes. And so we fell in love with Delaware, and so we decided to get a home here. We bought a house, and we've since had our daughter, who's 14 months, and we plan on staying here in Delaware. I work as a chaplain in the community. I have a master's degree from Southern Methodist University, and I think one of the things with being a chaplain, I'm a hospice chaplain, that's kind of unique with this and deciding to run is I've been in a lot of people's homes in Delaware. So I've been, you know, in homes where sadly we've had families that haven't had a floor. And I've been in homes where they have everything. And both of those families, in those situations, you know, they deserve all the care that they should have in that moment, no matter where you are economically. And I, you know, want to be able to be a voice for those people. I think that in Delaware, there are a lot of people without a voice that don't always get heard at the table. And I want to be able to bring those voices forward to be heard, because I think it's important, because we all pay taxes, whether income taxes, property taxes, and all of what we pay pays for what we get to experience here in Delaware and pays for city council, and our voices should be heard for that. And so I think with that perspective of being a chaplain and coming to city council, a lot of what I do throughout my day is a lot of listening and critical thinking, and working through, you know, stuff with families. And that's what you do on city council as well, is you do a lot of listening and critical thinking and thinking through situations with, you know, how can we be creative with a budget? How can we be creative in housing for our community? How can we be creative in business development for our community? And so some of those conversations that I had, not just, you know, with my own family, but also with friends that we have here in the community as well, they were like, Heather, have you thought about running for city council? And I was like, no, but hey, I'm always up for giving anything a try. my wife likes to say that when I set my mind to something, I give it 110%. So that's what I'm doing. I got involved with attending city council meetings just about 2 years ago. Went online with the Facebook, and being able to watch was great, and have since been going to city council meetings since they've returned to in person. Doing a lot of research on, you know, what makes the city run, from, you know, budget to what's it take to maintain roads in Delaware, and having those conversations and kind of asking those questions and learning about those things, because I care about our community. That's the other reason I want to run, is I care about Delaware and I care about our residents. And, you know, I want to kind of, like I said, make sure everybody's voice is at the table and being heard.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate mm-hmm. that. Got more questions, but we'll come back to that. All right. Well, we have one more candidate to meet tonight, and then we will be able to come back and do some follow-up questions. This next candidate is running for the first ward seat that is open. This is Lindsay Griffith, Lindsay without a D.
Yes.
Lindsay, you are running for the first ward, so it's a specific seat, or, you know, it's not just at large, it's from a specific ward. Why don't you just tell me then and introduce yourself, and then what prompted you to run for this seat?
Thank you, Jason. So the reason I'm running is because when Chris Jones' vacated Ward 1 seat came available, several friends came to me and suggested that I apply for that mm-hmm. seat. And through that application process, I really learned that what differentiates me is that I really believe that public officials are public servants. I've embraced service leadership my entire life, and I was always raised to be part of the solution instead of complaining about problems. So I'm running to offer Ward 1 residents an honest and ethical option for city council. I'm a mother, a small business owner, an active community member, and volunteer. I moved here 6 years ago. Delaware is my husband's hometown. I'm actually originally from Southern Ohio, but we've lived here for 6 years, and we chose Delaware because it is a wonderful place to raise a family. My bachelor's degree in communication is from Eureka College, where I earned the highly competitive Ronald Reagan Leadership Fellowship. And that fellowship allowed me to serve in the AmeriCorps on the Yakima Indian Reservation. And I was also able to intern at Anti-Slavery International in England, which is a global leader in fighting human trafficking. I also, while I was at Eureka, served as the economic development intern for the city of Eureka for 3 years, where I helped launch the Ronald Reagan Trail Association, coordinated the Main Street USA initiative for Eureka, and assisted with business development, including proposing a TIF district and assisting with SBA grant applications. Add to that my master's studies at Ohio State in community development, and I have a broad knowledge base to draw from. In addition, I've spent 6 years as an adjunct college instructor, 7 years in staffing and human resources, and 12 years of owning my own business, growing it from a one-person operation to now having 8 independent contractors. I have some hard-won life experience. I'm running for city council to do my small part in ensuring Delaware remains a wonderful place to live. I believe deeply in community service and in servant leadership. I'm not here for any political sway or power. I'm here to represent Ward 1 and be their advocate. I'm very concerned about smart, sustainable development, investing in our aging infrastructure, community programming, and small business support.
Excellent. I don't really have any follow-up yet. I have some, but they're already listed, so I want to hold on to those until we get there. So, Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jason.
Yes. All right. We have now heard from all of the candidates, at least an introduction and a basic overview of some of the things they're thinking about. In publishing this event or publicizing this event, Richard from Jay Gumbos gave everyone an opportunity to email questions in that they might have. And so I collected those questions and tried to boil them down to a few topics that seem to be common threads throughout. And I was able to get those together and actually went ahead and sent them to the candidates ahead of time so they aren't going to be shocked by the initial question. They've had time to at least think about it. I don't like throwing people off. I've been there. It's no fun. But I also will take the time to press into some of their answers just to get clarification when needed and so forth. And what we're going to do is we're going to have about 3 minutes for each of these questions, as long as the time keeps going the way it is. And that way you should have time to be able to articulate your thoughts on them, and we should be good. And at the very end, for those that are here in person, you should have a chance to interact with the candidates to maybe get to know them a little more or ask maybe specific questions that you might have concerning the specific thing that they are running for in that situation. And I will just reiterate for everybody here, while we are interacting in the grand group that is us, we are going to ask that you wear a mask just for everyone's protection. The candidates are up here. We're trying to be socially distanced, and we're trying to make it so you can also understand what we're saying. That's why we're not wearing a mask when we're up here with the microphone. So just so everybody knows kind of where we're at and what we're doing. We're going to – Lindsay – oh, yes.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates live from Jay Gumbos on the new My96.7 and streaming live on My96.7.net. This is for the Delaware School Board and Delaware City Council. And now back to your moderator, Jason Allison.
All right, we're going to treat this like a fantasy football draft, which basically means the order was drawn, you know, they drew from a hat, and those numbers were set, and now so that the person who had to go first doesn't have to hear the question and come up with their answer first before anybody else, we're going to start with number 7 and work our way backwards. So, Lindsay, you get to keep going.
Fun.
And yes, I'm going to ask this question. What is your number one priority for the city of Delaware if you're elected for the next 4 years?
Thank you, Jason. My number one priority is infrastructure investment. Looking at long-term solutions for maintaining and modernizing our infrastructure, specifically our roads and electric grid. We have an aging electric grid, and we have houses coming in, and we have cars that are switching over to electric. I don't think that we've acknowledged that we're going to have a huge drain on our electric grid coming forward, and we're not investing appropriately. Also, our roads. We know that we have a deficit in our road maintenance program, and yet we want to build another 40 miles of roads in the next 5 years. So we have to get really creative with solutions on how do we make that work for Delaware and for the residents, right? We have to take care of our city, and we have to take care of the residents that live here and make sure that any new development works for all of us. So part of that is focusing on restrained and sustainable development, holding developers accountable, and looking for those creative solutions to sustainable growth and affordable housing, solutions that benefit our city and our residents, not just a developer's bottom line.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next, then, is with that question is going to be Heather Rodenberg. Did I get it right this time?
There you go.
All right, good. You are running again for the at-large seat.
Correct.
And so with that being the seat that you're running for, can you tell me then what is your what will be your number one priority for the city of Delaware, if elected, over the next 4 years?
Okay. Well, one of the big
kind of projects that's happening in Delaware right now is the Addison property development, and the developer would like to get that finished within 5 years. So that is kind of a big thing over the next 4 years. I think with development, no matter what, its growth is going to happen, as we've heard other candidates say here this evening. We need to be aware of sustainable growth and what that looks like. As we grow, of course, that does start to wear upon, you know, what we have available here. And I think Delaware has a great opportunity to kind of set a precedent around sustainability, you know, with there's solar energy, there's geothermal energy, there's even, you know, the possibility of wind energy. These are, you know, things that we can kind of have conversations with developers about. We also need to be smart, because as we grow, of course, our streets start to grow. You know, we have more streets to maintain. Right now, it takes about $4.5 to $5 million a year to maintain Delaware City streets. The city itself can apply for a grant, and they normally get a little bit around about $1 million to help with that funding. So as we grow, of course, that means more streets that are also being built and need to be maintained. So I think that's also a very important issue, because we need to maintain those streets. As I'm sure some of you have read, we were in the Columbus Dispatch that talked about the roads and stuff in Delaware, and I think that's also an important issue for us to kind of take a look at as well. And, you know, also with that growth, when we talk about roads, we talk about homes, but we also need to be aware that as families start to move to Delaware, we also need to start talking about schools. You know, where are these kids going to go to school? And are we going to have the schools to be able to, you know, basically to take care of these kids, to get them the education that they need. So that's also an important conversation that needs to happen as well around the growth that's happening here in Delaware.
Which sounds like someone with a 14-month-old would be thinking.
Yes,
about.
Yes, yes. Who yes. is running the house right now.
I bet she is. You said she, right?
Yes, okay. Yes.
And, well, excellent. Okay, so what I heard there was infrastructure, sustainability, and then schools.
Yep.
Making sure they're ready. Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you, Caitlin.
Yes, Heather.
Heather. I looked at the next name, because Caitlin's okay. The next name. Heather. Yes, thank you so much. That was Heather Rodenberg.
Yes.
Gotcha. And she's running for the at-large seat for city council. Caitlin is next. Caitlin. Caitlin Frazier, you are also running for the at-large seat, and so I'm going to ask you that same question. You know, over the next, if you're elected, mm-hmm. So what would be your number one priority for Delaware for the next 4 years?
Without a doubt, it has to be infrastructure, especially with the fact that, as many candidates have said, we are going to have to continue to grow to meet that 30% additional residents that are coming to our community in the next decade. However, looking at our roads today, 34% of our roads are under-maintained to the point where we have $0 allocated in our current budget for any alleyways within the city. So that's a bit of a concern. And one of the ways we could approach this is, again, attracting new businesses to our community that will help us grow our corporate tax base. So we have a great opportunity to bring in manufacturing and automation. Actually, my corporate career, I'm a corporate HR manager for Canada. I work in technology and automation for them. Okay. So a lot of what I do is I help businesses merge both workforce development and business automation. And technology is really kind of moving that way in the manufacturing industry. So I think we have a great opportunity. We have our US 23 locality. We're very close to US 33, which is the manufacturing corridor in Ohio, to be able to bring businesses that will bring great jobs, but also add a corporate tax base so that we can then use that to fund infrastructure.
Well, that was just quick. Good job. No, what I hear again, that there's a common theme that I think everyone...
Tonight, the Blue Jackets are in Buffalo to take on the Sabres in preseason game number 5. It'll be our first look at an all-NHL lineup for the CBJ this evening as they continue to build chemistry ahead of the regular season. Blue Jackets hockey starts right now.
Businesses. Welcome to Columbus Blue Jackets Hockey. This is the Toyota pregame show brought to you by your local Toyota dealer. Visit buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Gets into the right wing circle, throws it down, and there's a score! Set up beautifully by the Blue Jackets and Vladislav Gavrikov! You've dialed the right number!
Blue Jackets Hockey is also presented by Cameron Mitchell Restaurants. Great people delivering genuine hospitality. Visit CameronMitchell.com. Athletic Brewing Company, proud partner of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Athletic Brewing, brew without compromise. Ohio Health, official health care provider of your Columbus Blue Jackets. Trusted care, focused on safety. Today's game is also brought to you by...
Sure, Mike will take care of all that and make it all wonderful. All right, Melissa, it's good to see you again. It's been so long. Melissa Harris, and you're running for the Board of Education.
Correct.
So I'm going to ask you the same question, but obviously with respect
now
to
with the Toyota pregame show, here's Dylan Tire.
You know, and it's a four-year term, isn't it?
Correct. Welcome to the KeyBank Center in Buffalo, New York, and welcome to the Toyota.
What would be your number one priority for Delaware City Schools?
My answer is going to be very short and sweet. Just maintaining and sustaining that safe, healthy learning environment for students and administration by bringing in programming provided by community partners. Here in Delaware, we have great partners. We have Helpline, but also helping to look for crisis counselors for our schools and faculty and staff. Just since this school year has started, that has been something that has been a huge focus from the teachers, from students returning from virtual learning, being on hybrid. Our kids are crying out for help, you know, and if we're able to provide crisis counseling for, as I said, not only the students but the faculty and staff who are in that same boat, that would be imperative to keeping our kids safe and healthy, and then they can progress, you know, past this. We are in a pandemic. We all are together. But of course, kids at high school level, middle school level, elementary level, they all adjust and adapt differently. So having those resources available will definitely help.
So as a school board member,
correct,
right, what role then do you feel the school board plays in actually making some of those things that you just described happen?
Well, the board is the basically the policymakers, we can say, just to keep it short and sweet. So creating like an anti-bullying, zero tolerance, disciplinary sort of, there should be disciplinary measures where there's zero tolerance. You know, as I mentioned before, a couple people ago, you know, when there's a situation in a classroom and a student is removed and then later in that same class period is brought back, what's being learned there? You know, the teacher is frustrated. I'm sure the principals are frustrated, and the student is kind of in limbo. Well, this happened, but I was removed, but then I came right back. So that can be a teaching moment, you know, a teaching moment that there's going to be no tolerance, regardless of what the bullying, if it's racially motivated, if it's a semi-hate crime, regardless of what it is, there can be disciplinary measures across the board.
And then that would be policy,
correct,
that the board is supposed to implement. And are those policies in place now, or would they be new policies?
They would be new.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So they're not in place now the way you're describing them.
They currently are not. And there's also not a statement on the website or in the handbooks about anti-bullying. There's not a clear and concise statement about inclusion and equity, and that's also something that needs to be improved on, because our students need to know I'm welcome here, I belong here, and this is where I'm going to get the best education that I deserve, just like the person sitting beside me.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mark, it's been a while. Come on up here. All right, you're gonna have an opportunity to expand a little more on what you said earlier, and so the question that I'm asking you, and you've only got about 3 minutes, so you know, keep it to the point, which you will. What, if elected, what will be your number one priority for the city of Delaware over the next 4 years?
Thank you, Jason. Pastor, man, I went to your church a couple years ago, man. I really enjoyed myself. You know that, right? Your church is on fire. That's right. So, like, Delaware needs to be on fire. All right. Okay. Now, I said earlier about diversity. I am 100% behind diversity. It's time for diversity for Delaware. Two D's match. Diversity Delaware. Now, I want to say a quote from a good friend of mine here in the city. His name is Chris Gurman. And he told me, it's time to drop knowledge. It's time for Delaware to understand that we have a division in our city. There's black, there's Latino, Hispanics, there's Asian community, separate but equal. That's supposed to be unconstitutional, by the way. So we got to bring these communities together. And as a city council person, in which I have not seen in all my 21 years here, a city council speaking about these issues before George Floyd, Tamara, and all the other brothers and sisters who died on the hands of the police, and after. This is a tendency, is a fear within this city to talk about these important issues as race relations. It's just as important as infrastructure. Because if it's not together with the people who are going to help build, rebuild the highways, and who's going to, the people, hopefully the city will attract more minority businesses to help rebuild the infrastructure. That's been a problem over the years since I've been here. I'm just trying to wake up the city. Now, some of the folks who know me in this city say, oh, man, you need to get over it. I'm like, I'll get over it when it changes. That's when I'll get over it. So as an advocate for the people, for the voice, okay, the voice of the marginalized. People who have been affected by racism in this town are marginalized to the point they cannot come to city council. They're afraid to speak out. And right now we have white brothers and sisters who are called allies who have been very helpful and must continue to work, though, until there's change in this city. We got to stop covering up like it's all right. It's not all right, and it's okay. It's not okay yet. I've been here 21 years. It's not changed that much. It needs to change faster. So I want to read my final thing I want to say. I want to read a quote from the City Bible. The City Bible. It's the budget book, it's called, okay? But I call it City Bible. Anyway, it says, and I quote, work continues under the heading of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Work continues on this important initiative. While the proposed budget does not include a position specifically responsible for overseeing these efforts before the end of 2020, we will engage in an external consultant trainer to lead diversity, equity, and inclusion discussions. So the city wants to hire somebody outside of our community. Makes no sense when you got people who've experienced, white and black, who've experienced racism in this town. Why are you going to hire a consultant for something that we already know?
All right. I'm going to have to cut you off because your time's up.
Seriously, time is up.
But we will have more questions. Don't worry. I got a lot in my head for you
okay,
right now.
Get ready.
All right.
Jason. You're listening to Meet the Candidates live from Jay Gumbo's on the new My 96.7 and streaming live on My967.net. And now back to your moderator, Jason Allison.
All right. Our next candidate for the second round is Stephen Taggett. Stephen is running for the open seat in the first ward, which you are currently filling as an appointed person, but you haven't been elected to that position yet, which is why you're running. The question again, if elected, over the next 4 years, what is going to be your number one priority for Delaware?
Thanks, Jason. Also, just wanted to clarify with the first ward seat, it's only going to last until 2023, so it's technically 2 years for that. But
Within 2 years.
My biggest priority, ensuring that the people who want to stay here and live here in Delaware can do so. Chiefly by this, I mean trying to keep the city as affordable as possible. While some of these cost increases, you know, rising housing costs and stuff like that are out of council's control, I believe there are a few things that city can do generally to help. First and foremost, avoiding raising taxes and being open to business opportunities that can grow that income tax base to help that road deficit. But also, we can look at projects similar to the proposed Channing Street plan. So this plan was proposed, I believe, in late 2019 out by Channing Street on the old engineers building. And what that is, it's apartments for folks, in that, $12 to $18 an hour range that right now, if you don't have a roommate, you're pretty priced out in Delaware. Mm-hmm. There were talks of three bedrooms, two bathrooms for, $900 to $1,000, which right now, if you try to go find that, it's going to be very, very difficult to find that. So I would be willing to, try and encourage and invite businesses of that similar building type to come into Delaware and help those folks in that $12 to $18 an hour range that maybe can't afford a place by themselves. When cost of living goes up, affordable opportunities disappear, jobs, opportunities dry up, squeezes the primary, older and younger generations out, and the ones on a fixed income, they aren't able to build up equity and purchase a home. This is something that's really near and dear to me. Unfortunately, I've had a ton of friends that I grew up with that wanted to stay here but couldn't. I had one friend who just moved out last year. He moved out about 30 minutes east of here. I can't remember exactly where he went, but, they can't afford to live here. I've really only got one or two friends left that I grew up with that can still stay here. Door knocking when I've been campaigning, I came upon a house that, a girl lived with her brother and her folks, and she was 23, 24 years old, said the same thing to me. I can't find anywhere in Delaware to live. Mm-hmm. So that's keeping the Gen Z, the millennials, and the older folks who are on that fixed income here when they want to stay here is extremely important to me.
Excellent. Yeah, well, we've got time to dive into some other things, but so I mean, what I'm hearing is your main focus, your one priority is that keep Delaware affordable is kind of the
yes sir.
Not
yes,
to
sir.
Give you a slogan, but that's kind of what I heard you say there, and that's going to take a lot of work, obviously.
Yes, sir.
With growth and everything that's happening. Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, Linda. Feels like it's been days. Linda Shear is running for the City Council at-large seat. And before we get to Linda, let's turn it over to Mike.
You're listening to 96.7 FM and 1270 AM, WDLR, Delaware.
All right, Linda, I am going to ask you that same question. If you can take your mask off if you want, just so people can hear you. If elected, you're running for the at-large seat, so
right.
Yours would be a four-year term.
Right.
For the next 4 years, what would be your number one priority?
If elected, I am interested in the growth for Delaware, both in the industrial park and in the homes area. Certain developers could pay impact taxes that could help subsidize the infrastructure that they are going to make the city provide. A lot of times they raise the prices of their homes and then the people can't afford those homes. You need to get a range of options for housing for people besides single family homes, sometimes apartments. We have a number of buildings around town that have been made into apartments, the second stories of some of the downtowns. You've noticed young couples moving into those. They're not huge, but they're a starter, and they can live there, save money, and move out. You need to attract some industry into the industrial park. The Kroger outlet has not provided anything for downtown or for Delaware at all. It's mostly gone to other communities. It's gone to the Olin D&G schools. Delaware has spent a lot of money maintaining and gotten very little back from it. I think that sometimes we need to make better deals with those things that go on in our and give, like I said, that will allow us to have more affordable housing for individuals as we have a better tax base for our schools and for everyone who lives there. I've also had friends who couldn't afford to stay here. It's unfortunate. if we sold our house, we probably couldn't afford to stay here either. Mm. This is something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And I think that that with a little thought and imagination, we can make Delaware affordable for most of those folks who want to live here.
All right. You can stay right there because we're doing the whole fantasy football thing.
Oh, all right.
And that means you got first pick, and but then you got last pick in the second round. So third round, you get first pick again.
All right.
So I'm gonna move it down just a little bit and ask you in its simplest terms, right? How do you plan to listen to the residents once elected? And you can get as practical as you want on this, but that was a concern in a lot of the emails that I got.
Hey,
how do, once they're in city council, do they go up in their little high tower over there in city council built room? And how are you going to hear from everyone?
I can understand them hiding in their high tower over there. Listening is a difficult thing to do. It's probably the most difficult thing to do when you're in a position that people believe you can change things. You are one voice. I am visible. I have been visible. I have worked at the library. I volunteer every week at the farmers market. I am around town. I talk to people. And face-to-face is a good way to do it. I would speak to people at meetings. You have little neighborhood groups. You have those folks with their concerns. And on email, message. I hear from people all the time, just sitting at the desk at the farmers market. So being available, showing up at city functions, showing up at First Friday, going to the fair, doing those things that happen where the people are, where the taxpayers are, and greeting them. If you invite them, they'll tell you. And sometimes it goes on and on, but everyone has something to say, and we all have something to learn from them. So I think just being there when there's something going on in the community.
Yeah. Excellent. So how and I know you for years have, you know, run the farmers market and been part of that. In thinking about if you were elected, that kind of changes your standing in the community, and that all of a sudden you are someone that people think if they talk to, something might change, right? You know.
Right.
So how do you see yourself discerning, you know, those voices that you've been around long enough to know there will be a lot of voices.
There are a lot of voices.
How do you see yourself discerning those voices and responding to ones maybe that, I mean, let's be honest, some of them are stupid ideas, right? You know, how do you respond to that in context?
Sometimes you can pluck things out of those stupid ideas.
Yes.
I'm an easy person to talk to, and people don't find me threatening, which is helpful. Mm-hmm. And you listen and you explain as best you can, and there's always thank you for your input at the conversation when you've heard enough to get to understand what the concern is.
Yeah.
Everyone has concerns about their community, and we all live together. Those concerns need to be heard, if nothing else.
Excellent. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Our next candidate back again into the hot seat is Stephen Tackett. Stephen is again running for the first ward seat. And we're doing this like this so that you get, one, you don't just hear one person for a really long time. You get to see different faces and hopefully get to recognize these different faces, especially when you go to vote, so you know what's going on.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates live from Jay Gumbo's on the new My 96.7 and streaming live on My967.net. Special thanks to our sponsors, Burrell Automotives, Beanbag Books, Beth Fisher, Better Homes and Garden Real Estate, Crazy Burrito, Cross Strings Music Store, Dragon Lanes, Forever Pet Grooming and Self-Wash, The Hamburger Inn, Jay Gumbo's, Kelly's Wholesale Carpet and Flooring, Kirby's Auto Parts and Towing, Leroy Service Center, Mosier's Market, The Red Shed Barbecue, Revelation Mortgage, R&R Tire Express, Tojours, Tranquility Acupuncture, What the Tux, and Woodland Cigar Company. And now, back to your moderator, Jason Allison.
Thanks, Mike. I'm sitting here now with Stephen Tackett. And Stephen, the same question that I just asked Linda, you know, you're running for the first ward seat, which is not the at-large. So you're very, you know, focused in the people that you are truly representing, and you obviously live in that ward. How do you plan on listening to people and hearing from them?
Yeah, thanks for the question. As the current councilman, I field comments and concerns from residents regularly through email. And other means, and always make sure to bring the concerns to the meetings. When I was first appointed, immediately held a meeting with some concerned residents down in Oakhurst neighborhood about a proposed development, the Addison development, in their neighborhood. I thought it was important to hear the perspective and gather feedback on the topic. I encouraged them to create petitions and gather signatures to submit to council from like-minded individuals so their voices would be heard from more than just by myself. I take really great pride in my response time. Like I said earlier, typically, I always try to hit that 1 hour upon receipt of your email. If I can't get you that answer immediately, I'm going to shoot it off to the person who might be able to get that answer. And you might not get that answer that night, but you're at least going to get acknowledgement that, hey, I see what you said. I totally hear you. We're going to get you this answer. Additionally, I held 3 Zoom meetings at the beginning of my tenure to address the issue mentioned above, the Addison development. I always want to do that again if the need arises. I've also had a handful of in-person meetings with a group called Shelbourne Forest Activists who are specifically trying to get their issues heard about the amount of land and natural resources that would potentially be taken up in this Addison development. Really great group. If anyone in the audience wants to take a look at them, I'd Google Shelbourne Forest Activists. I believe they have a website. There's probably a couple folks in here that'd be able to help you out with that. Met with them at Smith Park, and also facilitated a meeting between the developer and the constituents at the Strand Theater. Another group of individuals who I've met with have a great passion for pickleball, and they've been doing that out at Smith Park. They've reached out to me about getting more playing space at Smith Park, and recently we've brought in a sort of a broken off plan of what they were asking for, you know, actual additional pickleball courts. We don't really have the money for that, but we're looking at trying to convert some of those tennis court spaces at Smith in there. So I've been advocating for that. Really great folks out there do a lot of good work, but that, you know, I would really look forward to continuing these type of interactions in the community if elected.
So basically, you're just going to be open to people, whether it's email or scheduling meetings or scheduling Zoom calls. But again, you really are focused on listening.
Yes, sir.
You want to hear what's going on. Excellent. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Our next candidate that I'm going to ask this question to is Mr. Mark Butler. So, Mark. Hey, everybody gets the same amount of time, Mark. You have to fill yours. I know you don't want to, and you hate being in front, but... So, Mark, tell me this. You know, if elected, how do you plan on listening to the people that you represent?
Again, I'm sure glad you are asking these great questions. First of all, in the midst of all this social media, that's a good thing, right? It helps to share. But my problem with social media is the facts. Sometimes what you hear or what you read on social media is not the truth. Sometimes on social media, it's a misrepresentation of what needs to be heard. So I go back to old school. I invite those who are going to vote for me, as well as those who don't even like me or don't vote for me, get to city council by any means necessary and do a person-to-person with your representative. Email's fine, going back and forth is okay, but there's nothing like old school face-to-face. You get to hear, you get to see, use your senses, and you get to experience the stories of the residents. Come to city councils. That's the best way. And I'm not trying to say social media is bad, but let's get back to authentic human relationships that can still happen down on the corner of Williams and Sandusky. I think it's every third Monday night now. I don't even know when they meet. It's been so long. But that's my opinion of it all. You have to listen, as well as Chaplain Heather I'm also a chaplain. See, I didn't want to tell you all this background because, you know, it's really not about me. It's about you. It's about the voters. It's about the community. I can speak for you, but it's a team effort. And that's one of the problems with the, with politics. If, you know, they get up in the high level, then they forget about the people. The people get them in there, but somehow they have a memory lapse of how they got there. So I want to build from the ground up and continue, when elected, to have a conversation with the community, person to person, face to face. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate it. We're going to turn from city council now to Melissa Harris, who is running for the Board of Education, the open seat. And, you know, in the questions that I sent you, this wasn't one of them. But the one that I did want to ask you, which I think actually goes hand in hand with it, is when you've referenced this before, but I want to take a second and dive into it a little bit more. What was your child or children's experience in the Delaware City Schools, and then how is that going to impact your decisions as a board member?
Sure. Well, as I previously went over with bullying and racial discrimination, those sorts of things, I won't rehash those because I had two other children, and their experience was a little bit different. So I realized then that students that are in AP classes have a huge leg up on students that are just taking a regular curriculum. That included training on essay writing, searching for scholarships, grants, things of that nature. On an AP course load, you have those opportunities to learn about those things. If you are not on an AP course, if you want help with those things, you often have to pay for a course to help you with essay writing, things of that nature, when dealing with scholarships and grant applications, things of that nature. I also noticed that there's a huge push for, right when they're about that middle school age, so there's that huge push to decide, do you want to go the college route, or what other route would you like to go? And there wasn't enough emphasis, I thought, on trades and vocational schools. You know, look at where we are now. We need people in trades and that have gone to vocational schools. So I would definitely like to see that have more of an emphasis, that students are able to learn about various trades. There'd be a little bit longer process when they can make that decision if they want to go college prep curriculum or if they want to continue looking at different diverse options they may have. I'd also like to see a partnership with Ohio Wesleyan. It's what, two blocks from where we're sitting here. You know, we could have Wesleyan students in helping these students learn about writing these essays, where to find scholarships and grants, and there's no tie-in. We could definitely tie in and bridge that gap between Delaware City Schools and Ohio Wesleyan.
All right. So, and what I'm hearing you say in some of this is your experiences have given you some insight into some of the gaps.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Can, you know, we've still got another minute here before, and sure. You're the only school board, so you know, I'm not getting anyone else out of getting their turn to say. Some of those gaps, are there? You've mentioned the AP versus general. I don't know what the actual words are for our school system, but that's what you're saying. Are there any other issues that you see that are kind of gaps that we just need to speak into? They're not necessarily someone did something terrible, but just it's a gap that maybe as a school board member you could speak into.
Absolutely. There are definitely students that are on an IEP that may have different learning abilities that a lot of time advocating is turning to parents themselves. They have to do a lot of self-advocating, going, you know, constant meetings with teachers, with principals, things of that nature. So looking for ways that we can definitely close that gap as well. That's been a huge concern that I've had from parents that, hey, my child's on an IEP and I'm at the school or I'm calling the school daily or two, three times a week, when here's what we can do. If anyone would just listen, here's how we could work together to make this better.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
I
appreciate that. All right, so that was Melissa Harris running for the Board of Education. And next we have Caitlin. Caitlin Frazier, hi there, who is running for the at-large seat, one of the at-large seats in the city council. Caitlin, the question, you know, again for you is, as an at-large member, you know, obviously you don't have one district to or one ward to focus on. It's more general. So how do you plan on listening to the people of Delaware?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways. Social media is still a very big way that even our current city council persons are reaching residents. So I intend to keep active social media that's responsive to residents. Of course, email and phone communication, but also looking at holding at regular intervals, you know, town hall style meetings with residents, especially in neighborhoods where I know talking to residents, they feel as though they don't have a voice. So, you know, in our south and east sides where they, you know, I've talked to residents who feel as though maybe they're not being listened to as much. They don't see the same level of development and growth and infrastructure in their neighborhoods. Having those town hall style face-to-face meetings would go a long way in kind of, you know, getting back to understanding what city council is doing on their behalf and how the city is working for them.
Okay, that's a new idea. That, I mean, new in that no one yet has suggested that type of interaction. And as an at-large member, how does that play when you are working with maybe, you know, you mentioned the south side, that would be the second ward, or the east side, which I think is the third?
Parts of the south side are in the fourth ward, actually,
okay.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So how would you work with their representative in doing that?
Sure, and asking their representative to join in these style meetings. Of course, we'd be working as colleagues, so ensuring that the ward representative is active and participating. Of course, time allowing, we're all, you know, very busy, but I think that's a great way to see more than one council person, see the at-large members, see their direct ward representative.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Caitlin. Yeah, that's good. So Caitlin is running again for the at-large seat in the Delaware City Council. And her ideas there around how she would be listening to the people of Delaware if she were elected and how that would work out. The next person then is Heather Rodenberg. I'm never going to forget your name now because you corrected me, which was, I'm glad you did.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates live from Jay Gumbo's on the new My 96.7 and streaming live on My967.net. And now back to your moderator, Jason Allison.
So, Heather, who is running for the at-large seat in the Delaware City Council, tell me, how would you, if elected, what would be like one of the main ways that you would be listening to the people of Delaware in giving input to the City Council?
Well, one of the things that I love about Delaware is we have a lot of great places around town. And one of the things that I would like to do is actually set up like monthly, I'm not a big office person, and so I would say like monthly office hours, air quote, for those on the radio, where I'd pick a place kind of around town each month. Of course, it would be different, just to like set this time, like an example could be the first Saturday of the month, to meet and talk about what's going on, because, you know, we have like the Unity Community Center. We have great restaurants here in Delaware, like downtown here. We have Jay Gumbo's, you know, Old Dog Ale House has a great patio. On the east side during the summer, of course, there's Dairy Point, where we can all enjoy some ice cream together and chat about what's going on. Smith Park, you know, we have all these great parks that are around our county as well, that we can, you know, meet at and talk and have conversations. So that way everybody is able to share kind of what their concerns are and have conversation around that. That's kind of what I do all day, is talk and listen to people. So I'm always up to having a conversation. Just this last Friday night, our family was down for First Friday, and we were out wandering the streets of First Friday for 3.5 hours, talking to people. I'm very much an extrovert, so I love talking to people, so I was excited about it. I went home and I had all these fresh ideas from conversations that took place during that time. And so just, you know, being around the stuff that's going on. The Unity Community Center has great activities all the time. They just had a big festival this last weekend. You know, being present at those, I think, are important, because it shows not only as a city council person that you're supporting the city with these activities that are going on. Over the summer, we had Delaware Pride, which I think is another great thing to support and be a part of and be present at. So we are hearing everybody's voices in the community. And then, of course, I think even on my Facebook page, I have my personal email list with my cell phone. So I'm always up for people calling or emailing me or sending me a message by whichever way they want to reach out to communicate, just to have conversations kind of around their thoughts and concerns as well.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. We're at almost 3 minutes, so we'll pause our conversation. I'm an extrovert too, so having conversations with seven people all at once is kind of fun for me. The next person then up is Lindsay. There she is. And Lindsay, don't forget, you get double duty this time. But we'll start with that question. And Lindsay, I'm going to make sure I get everything right here. Lindsay Griffith is running for the first ward seat in the yes. Delaware City Council. And how, as a first ward, again, you know, Stephen is the other person running there, mm-hmm. you know, it's obviously a very specific geographical area within yes. the city of Delaware. So what are some of your plans, your ideas for listening to the people of the first ward as you represent them?
Right. Thank you, Jason. So to answer that question, I want to tell you a little bit about what I do now for my professional career. Do you know what a doula is?
I do, actually.
Do you? Like, only like 5% of people know what doulas are. So what is a doula, Jason?
Well, it usually helps nursing mothers.
Oh, that's a lactation consultant, but I'm also that too. But
see? I was wrong.
I do that too. But a doula is non-judgmental, informational, and educational and physical support for people in the birthing year. So my entire job is sitting down and listening to new families and helping them meet their needs. So what I do on a daily basis is reflective listening and non-judgmental support, and not necessarily advocacy, because it's not my job to speak for my clients, but it's my job to help my clients find their voices and to be able to speak truth to power. And so that's what I plan to do for the residents of Ward 1. I have no trouble speaking truth to power, but it's not really my job as a city council representative to do that. It's my job to empower our residents so that they have a voice and that they have a seat at the table and that they can use their ideas and their needs and their issues and have a voice and have an opportunity to be heard and to be part of a collaborative decision-making effort and be part of the solution.
All I remember is I was wrong. No, I'm just kidding. So part of what I hear you saying, though, is there's a lot of being open to the one-on-one.
Yes.
And I'm throwing this at you because I was wrong, so now you get a chance to miss one. Do you know about how many constituents are in the first ward?
So right now there are over 5,400 okay. registered voters, but each right. ward has a certain number of residents that are assigned okay. to the ward. So the wards are supposed to be equally
yeah.
distributed
okay.
between the city.
I was thinking it was about that, but yeah. I thought you're the expert. I mean, you know, like I don't know. It's not my job to know those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, 5,400 people, mm-hmm. give or take.
Yep.
You know, there's only so much time in the day.
Absolutely.
How do you plan on hearing from all 50, I mean.
Right. So, you know, I've been out door knocking and hanging up door hangers, but I'm a big believer in respecting people's privacy and respecting, you know, being respectful of people's time and energy, because everybody is busy. But as a doula, you know, I'm on call 24/7, and my ringer is up, much to my husband's chagrin. For the last 12 years, my ringer's been on high 24/7, 365. So this won't be anything new for me, right? I'm used to when people have a need, I answer the phone and I jump to and I help them figure out their problem. And I just want to do that for the residents of First Ward.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for educating me. All right. So the next question then, which is going to kind of, we're going to change gears a little bit. And I can tell everyone here is just riveted and excited to get to the, I feel bad because I'm used to like being in front of a crowd and like talking to the crowd, but I'm really just supposed to give them voice. So the entertainer in me just doesn't know what to do with this. So anyway.
We got you scheduled to do a song later on, Jason. We haven't told you yet. It's in the script.
That's not going to help. I'll tell you that right now. I do solos. I sing solo. You can't hear me. So the next question I want to ask, and we're kind of getting down to the last real question because we've only got about a half an hour left, and I want to leave a little bit of time for people to interact. But I want to talk about your financial philosophy and give you some time to interact. Because the way I worded the question, and this is based on multiple emails that came in, and they were all kind of around this concept, especially when it comes to taxes and what that means and so forth. But my question is, how would you describe your financial philosophy with respect to tax increases and spending within the city of Delaware?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Thank you, Jason. Bottom line is, I believe in fiscal responsibility, right? All city departments should be independently audited to ensure that we are using taxpayer resources as efficiently and equitably as possible. You know, I wish I could make empty promises of never raising your taxes, but the reality is that city council actually has limited power when it comes to raising your taxes. And I feel ethically bound to be honest with my neighbors. So while I certainly don't want to, nor do I plan to raise any taxes or, for that fact, fees or utility deposits, our citizens have in the past voted to increase taxes for services, and I believe and trust my neighbors, and I trust that if it were absolutely necessary, they would pass levies to ensure that Delaware remains a wonderful place to live. But I think we just need to be good stewards of the resources we're granted.
Well, that was just like you prepared for this. No, I mean, fiscal responsibility is obviously important.
Yes.
And, I mean, right now as we talk, our federal government is working through a whole bunch of that
yes.
stuff that is above my pay grade. I'm not going to get into that.
It's above mine too.
Yeah, and I'm not going to even ask you about it. But I do understand that it's complex.
Yes.
And so maybe share a little, like when you see the city of Delaware, and you wouldn't be running for this position if you didn't at least have a working knowledge of
yeah.
some of the things going on. How do you see that playing out? Like, how do you see financial and fiscal responsibility playing out
right.
in the day-to-day operations of the city?
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is we have to find areas where we can cut fat, right? And then we have to find opportunities for creative financing. There are tons of state and federal grants available out there. Our city council has done a great job of tapping into some of those, but the resources and the opportunities are there. We just need people who will step up and really go for those opportunities. But when it comes to things like infrastructure, you know, we can look more, you know, we keep pushing these infrastructure investments, like these road projects, like instead of doing the road projects that need to be done now, we're pushing them 10 years out because we just don't have the money to do it, right? So instead of spending $20,000 to resurface a road, we could spend $30,000 to replace that with a sustainable road surface that'll last 70 years, right? So we need to be more smart, and we need to be investing in the future of Delaware and not so short-sighted and looking at those year-to-year deficits. We need to have a really solid plan for the future.
Thank you.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
All right, so we're going to go in reverse order now. So we're heading back to Heather Rodenberg, and she is running for the City of Delaware Council seat, the at-large seat. And this will be, by the way, this will be the final question that we work through, and then I'm going to give you each a couple minutes to give a closing thought. Okay, so you can start thinking now in case you didn't have one prepped. You got a couple minutes to come up with one. So the question again is, when it comes to, you know, how would you describe your financial philosophy with respect to tax increases and spending within the city of Delaware?
It's a good question. It's funny because recently someone posted online that I wanted to raise income taxes in the city of Delaware by 5%. I'm like, do you know what the income tax rate is? And no one would be that stupid to do that. The current, in case you're wondering, the current income tax rate is 1.85%. I don't want to raise taxes. I think that for me is definitely one of the last things that I would ever want to do, because of course if taxes go up, my taxes go up, we're also, given the economy and where it is right now, with the pandemic that we've had, we've seen people lose their homes and starting to lose their homes. And if we continue to raise taxes, we are going to tax people out of their homes. That's the last thing that I want. I have my in-laws are retired, and you know, they live on a fixed income, and because they're on a fixed income and the taxes that they've experienced, like my mother-in-law, who's in her 70s, had to go back to work full-time. I don't want that for our senior citizens that are on a fixed income. So I think one thing that can definitely be done, I know our city manager does a great job with the budget, and I think definitely take a look at it and seeing how can we be creative with the money that we have coming in and the money that is going out. How can we get creative to address the projects that need to be done? How can we get creative in the repair of the streets? Are there things that we can do, for an example, to petition the state for more money to help with street repair? Having those conversations to be creative so that we don't have to raise taxes for the city, not just income taxes, because I don't want to do that, or property taxes, but, you know, what can we do to be creative with the city growing? We are going to, of course, as people move here, that is going to bring in more of a tax base. And so there are going to be funds continuing to come in. And with the pandemic, as we've all experienced, there's a short supply on a lot of stuff right now. So what can we do to be creative when looking for stuff that we need? So just, having those conversations that kind of need to be had to get creative with funding.
All right. Excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So our next candidate that I'm going to ask is Caitlin. Yes, this is Caitlin Frazier. She is running for the city council at-large seat for the city of Delaware. And so my question, as I just asked the other candidates, how would you describe your financial philosophy with respect to tax increases and spending within the city of Delaware?
Sure. Thank you for the question. So my philosophy is to continue to remain as fiscally responsible as possible, looking at our existing tax revenue that the city receives from residents, and avoiding at all costs going back to residents frequently with additional levies. The city last came to residents in 2012 to bring us up to the current 1.85% income and property tax rate. And I understand that we did a lot with that. We built our community center. We improved the quality of life. We invested in parks and recreation. So, that's obviously what taxes do for us. But I think that looking at, again, how do we increase our business in our industrial park, attracting new businesses that are going to bring in commercial tax base. All of our development is not going to central around residential forever. It's just not sustainable. So bringing in businesses that will not only create jobs, but increase our tax base as well.
So when bringing in business like that, can you describe the cost that the city of Delaware incurs? There's always a cost, right, to something. We bring growth cost.
It does.
So as we bring in more industry or commercial type stuff, what kind of expenses would that cause within the city of Delaware, like from the city's perspective, not from the residents?
Absolutely. So we're going to see an increase in response to our city fire and police. We're going to see an increase in taxation on our utilities, water, electricity, so our electric grid. So we're going to have to look at, do we need to expand those things over time? We need to increase resources and funding to our police and fire departments to be able to handle large-scale commercial development that not only brings in jobs but also increases taxes.
All right. So there is a both sides of the coin. So, I mean, bringing new growth is great because it widens the tax base, mm-hmm. but it also costs.
Yes.
So we've got to balance both of those is kind of what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Thank you very much, Caitlin. I appreciate that. Again, that was Caitlin. She's running for the City of Delaware City Council at-large seat. Next up is Melissa. And Melissa, I'm going to change because, you're not going to worry about what the city of Delaware spends in some ways, and yet you are because you're part of the school board. So yes, and you live here, so obviously you do have a dog in that hunt, so to speak. But I want to change because you're running for the city of Delaware, the Board of Education for our Delaware City School System, and the way I want to ask this is, how do you see or what do you see the role of the board as the board of, I mean, there's, I actually read the document that describes the, you know, what the role of the board is, but I'm a nerd, but how does that, how do you see that playing out, you know, if you're elected, what role will the board then have moving forward?
Right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the board duties primarily are the policymakers. You know, of course, give the reviews for the superintendent and the treasurer, but other than that, don't oversee day-to-day, you know, don't do teacher reviews, don't sit in on interviews, people that are being interviewed for the district. But my main thing is I would like to expand the duties. So not necessarily duties like you read, but my own personal duties. So discussing like advocacy. So celebrating the students and their achievements. As I mentioned before, seek resources to expand opportunities for students. Advocate for those families and children that, you know, they need strong partnerships. So to help advocate for those families so that those partnerships can be joined. Accountability. You know, I'm all about, I want the district to report the progress, but I also want that progress to be reported to the community. You know, we understand, okay, we are a presidential school, we are this and that and the other, but I want a little bit more transparency. You know, I want to know how progress is going in individual classrooms. Not saying teachers need to provide a report every month or quarterly, anything like that, but as a school board member, I feel it's my responsibility to go to the schools and talk to the teachers, talk to students, talk to faculty and staff members, see what their needs are, see what facilities needs may be, because we all know as we continue to grow, as the potential council members spoke of, we're busting at the seams already as we are. You know, that is evidenced if you try to walk through the hallways at Hayes. They absolutely busting through the seams. Also structure. I want to review and adopt policies that allocate resources to support teaching and learning. Also encourage a more innovative learning environment, whether that be through electronics, whether that be through introducing a more diverse curriculum. You know, teachers continue to say, why am I teaching about someone who's dead when there are people making progress every day? People are, you know, coming up with new scientific methods and new theorems. Why am I teaching on someone who's already dead?
All right. All right.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates live from Jay Gumbo's on the new My 96.7 and streaming live on 967.net.
All right, we are back here, and we're working now with the City Council at Large, the Delaware City Council at Large candidate, Mark Butler. And Mark, we're taking 3 minutes to answer the question, how would you describe your financial philosophy with respect to tax increases and spending within the City of Delaware?
Okay, thanks again for the question. Now, it probably won't take me 3 minutes to answer this question because I will use a common sense approach. If sitting on the council and we're having a discussion about what we need and what we don't need, and it's in terms of what we have and what we don't have, that makes sense to me. So I would like to have discussion not only with the city councilman, but as I said before, get the public more involved in the discussion. And I know there's some decisions that have been made behind, or we call it executive sessions, that they've already made the decision, but then they want to go out and have public input. Makes no sense. Get the public input first on the financial consideration, get everybody together, and then make the decision. For this city of this size, you cannot make a decision for the entire city without the input of the entire city financially. It doesn't make no sense. And also, I want to echo the fact that Mr. Tom Holman is great in finances, all right? And we also have a finance director expert. So don't have to change the wheel in order to get more input from the citizens of this community, okay? Somebody, well, would you raise taxes? I have to be put in a position to find out, well, why I want to raise taxes, if I raise taxes at all. But not just raising taxes, but the money, the current money that's being allocated in our city right now, there's some things that we don't need, in my opinion. It's extra, extra, extra. So I think sometimes we've got to think about, well, you know, city council person, can you pay that out of your, you know, not so big salary instead of the city paying it? So again, common sense approach to financing. I built a business, 12 years in business here in this city, doing well. My wife and I own a home, so I have that kind of experience. But I'll be honest and transparent. I've never been a treasurer for the city, no city in America. I've never been a treasurer for the Board of Ed, never, never. But I have some financial common sense that I can offer to the city of Delaware and also to the citizens of Delaware. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate your input on that. And look, boom, less than 3 minutes. You nailed it. A second and a half, but still, it was less than 3 minutes. So you nailed it. You were good with budgeting your time. Sorry. You like that? Okay, good. All right. Next, no, I haven't. I've been told not to. All right. Next candidate. All right. Thank you. We're going to, and after we have these last two candidates talk, then I'm going to give each of the candidates 2 minutes. And basically what I want you to do is to close with why the voters should vote for you and then how they can find out more about you. Okay, so 2 minutes to do that. Stephen, you're the next candidate. Stephen Tackett is running for the Delaware City Council First Ward seat. And so the question, how would you describe your financial philosophy with respect to tax increases and spending within the city of Delaware?
I believe that both taxes and spending should be kept as low as possible while still maintaining the infrastructure and amenities that folks in our community have grown to know and love. Currently, we're looking at a deficit of a couple million dollars unless we postpone or cut things from the capital improvement plan. Some of these things can be pushed back, such as replacement of refuse vehicles, but other things more pressing in need of that, such as road maintenance. I'll always favor cutting and spending over raising taxes, and we'll vote accordingly if absolutely necessary in an emergency, if some tax gets sent to the ballot. Every tax should always have a sunset clause. And a sunset clause is after a certain amount agreed upon time, that goes back to the voters so they can assess what their tax money has been used on. This gives them the greatest ability to hold the city accountable, hold everyone accountable who is using that money that is being taken out of their pockets. And that should always, always, always go to beyond a sunset clause. Anything that ever goes for a tax should have a sunset clause.
All right. So in a nutshell, basically, let's not raise anything that we don't have to. And then if we do have to raise taxes, the sunset clause.
Give the voters ability to hold everyone accountable.
Excellent. All right. There we go. That answered the question. I'm not going to push any deeper. You'll have a couple minutes here in a few minutes to wrap things up. The last candidate that we're going to ask this question is Linda Shearer. Linda is also running for the Delaware City Council at-large seat, and she is the last one that I'm going to ask this question, but first, over to Mike.
You're listening to Meet the Candidates live from Jay Gumbo's on the new My 96.7 and streaming live on My967.net.
All right, Linda, in a couple minutes, how would you describe your financial philosophy with respect to tax increases and spending within the city of Delaware?
Well, we surely need to be financially responsible and fiscally responsible for our voters, that they know and trust that we're going to spend their money wisely. Sometimes within a small department or a large one even, you can talk to your employees and see if there's a way that you can cut back. I know a lot of large businesses have done this and gotten input from their employees that we were wasting time and wasting resources on something that could have been solved by something a lot simpler. We, as a community, need to attract more tax base as far as out in our industrial park. That that is where most of our taxes are going to come from. You can only tax homeowners and income from those individuals so much. And the people who are coming to your community as new businesses, the people who are there that have gotten tax exemptions in the past, need to come with a little better deal for the community. We need better deals, and we need to communicate with our voters. The voters need to see what we're doing with their tax money. I think that the communication with the taxpayers is probably the best thing that you can do, as they see that Delaware does an awful lot with a little bit of money that they bring in, and that is surprising. If you look at, if you compare them with places like Worthington and Upper Arlington and Westerville, you'll see that we have squeezed an awful lot out of a few dollars, and that often falls on the shoulders of our employees and those individuals doing the work. So, like I said, we need to attract more tax base. We need to communicate more with our voters so that if we do have to raise taxes, which nobody wants, and I don't want to pay them, we can do that, and they feel that it's necessary. They will vote for tax increases if they believe that they're necessary and you're truthful with them. So hopefully that doesn't happen very often.
Yes. I do love the fact that in the city of Delaware, if someone votes, or if a city council member pushes for a tax increase, it affects them because that increase affects their taxes. And
yes,
so
it does.
That's why I love local politics so much more than the national stuff. So, Linda, I'm going to ask you to take 2 minutes, and just basically you get to sum things up, and you can take less than 2 minutes if you want, but 2 minutes to sum up, hey, why should people vote for you? And, you know, what then also, how can they find out more about you?
Okay. You should vote for me. Mark and I chose Delaware to live a few years ago when our sons were small. The schools were good. It's a college town. That puts us head and shoulders above a lot of other small towns because it stays alive. And I think that working with Ohio Wesleyan, which has happened more in the last 10 years than I saw in the previous 10 years, has been a boon for the whole community. People who are sending their kids to college want to know that their children are coming someplace safe. Delaware has maintained that. I think that with the proper leadership, it can only go better. It can only go up. If you would like to find out about more of my philosophies, you can go to my Facebook page, Linda Ubry, U-B-R-Y, Shearer, 2022. And if you have any questions, I will be glad to answer them. And you'll see me around town, and please stop and talk to me. I'm more than willing to listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate that. Stephen. You have 2 minutes.
Thanks, Jason. You should vote for me because what you're getting with me is you're getting the hometown kid. You're getting the guy that has grown up here his entire life, that has grown with these struggles, that has seen everything that everyone has talked about. At the end of the day, I love Delaware. This is my home. This is going to be my home until I die. As simple as that. Serving my community, serving my country, always going to be my top two priorities. You can reach out with additional questions to me at tackettforcouncil.com, or you can reach to my Facebook, which is just Stephen Tackett, City Council First Ward. My email is stackett@delawareohio.net. Do my best to stick around for any questions.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now I'm going to ask Mark Butler. So, Mark, thanks again. And thanks to all the candidates for taking an evening just to introduce yourself and to let people hear kind of what you're thinking and where you're from and how you're proposing to move forward within the city and the school board. We do appreciate your time and for doing this. Mark, you've got 2 minutes. Tell us why we should vote for you and how people can find out more about you.
Okay. The late Congressman John Lewis said this, good trouble, necessary trouble. Who is Mark Butler? First Ward resident, over 20 years, local business owner, faith-based community leader, professional performing artist, substitute teacher in 3 districts in this county, community advocate and activist, wellness mentor, good troublemaker. What does he stand for? Diversity, equity, inclusion, mental health services, eliminate food insecurity, affordable housing, temporary housing for families, fiscal responsibility, transparency, accountability, strengthen partnership with Delaware City Schools and Ohio Wesleyan, educate community on city council policies and procedures, strengthen and create community partnerships with Delaware Performing Arts Organization. Vote Mark Butler, City Council at Large. You can find me on Facebook, Mark Butler, the number 4, change. That's Mark Butler for change.
Why, thank you. All right. All right, that was Mark Butler, if you didn't hear. He is running for the Delaware City Council at-large seat. And now Melissa Harris, who is running for the Delaware Board of Education, one of the open seats. Take a couple minutes and share with us why someone should vote for you and how they could find out more.
Sure. So again, longtime resident of Delaware, multiple generations of my family here. My children have graduated from Delaware City, myself. And basically, I'm a simplistic person. I believe my purpose is to serve, and along with service comes listening. So listening to the needs of the community and working with the community of how they best see that those needs could be met. So it's not just about we're going to sit here and complain about what needs to be done, but we're going to work together to figure out solutions. That makes sense. So a little bit more. I promise to continue to model and encourage civility to ensure a common ground as we move forward together, to protect, empower, and support our students and their educational with Delaware City Schools. You can find me on Facebook as well, like the other candidates. So really simple, just my name, Melissa Harris, spelled just like it sounds, 1L, 2 S's, 4, F-O-R, D-C-S. Very simple. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melissa. All right, Caitlin Frazier, who is running for the Delaware City Council at-large seat. And you have 2 minutes.
Great. So over 2 years ago, I started meeting with local leaders in our community who are already working, doing great work in the community, and wanted to know what our local challenges are, encountering residents over 2 years ago, to basically understand how to be able to go and talk to residents and understand their concerns. Part of the reason I started very early is to build relationships in the community with people that are already making an impact. I wanted to be ready on day one in office to talk to the right people and have those relationships to do amazing work. You can reach me on Facebook at Caitlin Frazier for Delaware City Council. I'd love to take your questions on email at campaign@caitlinfrazier.com as well. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right. Heather Rodenberg, you also have 2 minutes to share with us, you know, why should someone vote for you and how could people find out more?
Thank you. The biggest thing is I'm showing up. I'm going to city council meetings. I'm doing the work. I'm, you know, researching into what it means to be on city council, learning about the city, learning how the city functions, and what we need to do to be a good representative of the city. I think I can bring some creativity and definitely diversity to the city council, which is very much needed. I believe in affordable, sustainable sustainable development, accessible transportation, diversity and inclusion. And, you know, and that's, and I mean it. I'm also very approachable. I want to have conversations with people. I'm out in the community and I'm always like, hey, stop me if you see me and you want to talk. We live on the corner of Lincoln and Euclid, and I always tell people, if you see the car in the driveway, that means I'm home. So knock on the door if you want to chat, as long as it's not after 7 p.m. because that's when the daughter goes to bed. But otherwise, I'm out in the community doing what needs to be done. You can find me on Facebook as well. It's just Heather, the number 4, and then, of course, Delaware. But, yeah, reach out if you have questions, want to talk more. Whether or not you vote for me, just be curious. Since I still got a couple of seconds left, one of my favorite TV shows right now is Ted Lasso. And there's an episode in there where he's in a bar playing darts with another guy, and he makes a bet. And Ted Lasso says to the guy, and he's talking to him, he's like, you didn't ask me questions. He's like, you need to be curious. Come to find out, he's this great dart player. So no matter who you vote for, whether it's one of the other 5 people running for the 3 seats, be curious. Have conversations with people. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Last, but definitely not least, is Lindsay. Lindsay, you have 2 minutes to share why should people vote for you and how can they find out more.
Thanks. First, I want to thank Richard with Jay Gumbos and WDLR NY 96. I wanted to make sure I did get it right, 96.7, and Jason for hosting this. We really appreciate it. We appreciate the opportunity to speak directly to our constituents. The reason the First Ward residents should vote for me is because I won't just be your voice in council. I'll help you find your voice with council. I will help you to advocate for yourself. I will help you to find resources to meet your needs, just like I have been doing by engaging with community groups like Friends of Shelbourne Forest and really helping those residents find the resources we need to get the parks and the services that we want and hope for in our area. To get in contact with me, very easy. It's my website, www.lindsey, L-I-N-S-E-Y. As Jason pointed out, there is no D in my name. My father was educated in Southern Ohio. Don't blame me, right? So Lindsey, L-I-N-S-E-Y, Griffith, G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H, just like Andy.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Lindsey Griffith for First Ward City Council. Or you can text me at 614-489-9536. Like I said, my phone is on 24/7, 365. I'm used to those 4 a.m. calls. So just today, we had a resident who, a deer was killed by a coyote in her backyard. And my biggest concern for her was, are you okay? Big hugs, because that's stressful. And how are you going to protect your children? Like, do you feel safe having your kids in your backyard? Do we need to help you get a camera, right? And how do we get the deer out of your backyard, right? So I wanted to make sure that her needs were met, that that deer was taken care of. I'm not even on city council, but I care about my neighbors, and I want to make sure that all of our needs are met, because when we all work together, all ships rise, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Have a good night, Al.
Thank you. Well, I want to say thank you again to all the candidates for taking the time to be here. Thank you for those of you that showed up in person to hear, and the candidates will be available if you have any questions specific to them for a little bit longer. And thanks especially to Richard Upton here at Jay Gumbos for hosting this event, for organizing this event, and of course the radio station for taking care of that end of it. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, Mike, to wrap this up.
Thank you, Jason. And on behalf of the radio station, thank you for coming out tonight. Clap your hands, everybody. Everybody stuck out. It was a great turnout. Richard has been a great, just a great member of the community here with the radio station as well. And we thank him for the opportunity. He reached out to us about caring this. And I'm a firm believer in local radio. It's part of the reason why I come from Medina County up here. I believe in this area and what it takes, and it shows with you guys coming out today. And that's what WDLR and our sister station WVXG is all about. We'd like to do more of these. And just to let you know, this was recorded. And it'll be up on the website at my967.net. That's my967.net. And you can go to that candidates page, and there's 2 hours. So maybe there was something that one of the candidates said today that you would like to take that to, you know, someone that, a friend of yours or someone out here is listening, a friend of theirs, you'd like to listen to it again, you can do that. Special thanks to everyone and all of our sponsors. Again, Pastor Jason Allison, thank you. And that's from the Press Church. Thank you so much. Candidates, audience, everyone, put your hands together for a great night. And once again, you are listening to Meet the Candidates live from Jay Gumbo's on the new My96.7 and streaming live on My967.net. Now back to the studio.
All the hits from the 70s, 80s, and more.
My92.9.
Top 1 WDLR Plaza in beautiful downtown Delaware.
WDLR Marysville, Delaware.
This is a radio station all about you.
I like things that are mine.